You're just in time for the Bible Answer Man broadcast with Hank Hanegraaff, the radio outreach of the Christian Research Institute. Our purpose here at CRI is to equip Christians to provide biblical answers to life's most important questions, to read the Bible for all it's worth, and counter the teachings of cults and world religions that deviate from the plumb line of God's Word, because life and truth matter. This is a live program, and we invite your calls. So dial toll-free 888-ASK-HANK. Numerically, that's 888-275-4265. Now here's the president of the Christian Research Institute, Hank Hanegraaff.
Thank you very much, Randy. And we will be going to your calls a little later on. The number to dial, 888-ASK-HANK. Numerically, 888-275-4265 is just communicated by Randy. Also, the information that I talk about on the broadcast, you can find on the web at equip.org. You can also write me at Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, zip code 28271. Early this morning, I read an article titled, Why Millennials Are Ditching Religion for Witchcraft and for Astrology. It's written by Carrie Paul, who is a personal finance reporter. And she points out that a woman named Coco Lane, who happens to be a Brooklyn-based producer, when she meets someone new these days, the first question that comes up in the conversation isn't, where do you live, or what do you do, but what's your sign? And she goes on to say, so many millennials read their horoscopes every day, and they believe them. It is a good reference point to identify and place people in the world. The point here, according to Carrie Paul, is that interest in spirituality has been booming. On the other hand, interest in religion has been plummeting, especially among millennials. And more than half of young adults in the United States of America believe astrology to be a science. And what's really interesting about this, I've looked up the data, 92% of the Chinese, you think about Chinese believing in ancestor worship, for example, many of them, but many of the Chinese public, 92%, think horoscopes are a bunch of baloney. Of course, it is high-priced baloney in the West, because the psychic services industry, which includes astrology or tarot card reading or palmistry, is now worth $2 billion plus every single year. Danielle Ayoka, who is the founder of Mystic Lipstick, sells, think about this, she sells a Mystic box subscription that includes crystals and Reiki-infused bath salts, incense customized to the unique energy of the current moon cycle. And her business is absolutely booming. She said, when I first started out in this business, I was considered a weirdo. Now it is becoming more and more normalized. Why? Because millennials are much, much more open-minded. Carrie Paul concludes her article with the assertion that, like the existence of God, there's no actual scientific proof for astrology. There is, in fact, and she's right, no actual proof for astrology. But for the existence of God, she's absolutely wrong. The heavens declare the glory of God. The skies proclaim the work of his hands, God's invisible qualities, his eternal power, his divine nature have been clearly seen. They are understood from what has been made, and therefore we are without excuse. The order, the complexity of the visible physical universe eloquently testifies to the existence of an uncaused first cause. And of course, the fact that we can't see God should not lead anyone to the mistaken assumption that God does not exist. Black holes can't be seen. Electrons, the laws of logic, they all exist despite the fact that they're not visible. The idea that the existence of God and the efficacy of astrology are equal with respect to epistemic warrant is utter and complete nonsense. But as for astrology, it's a rigged game. It's a rigged game replete with self-validating prophecies and with dangerous forms of divination. Why do I say dangerous? It is because the God who created the stars condemns astrology as detestable. In fact, the prophet Isaiah went so far as to say that the counsel of the astrologers and the stargazers, those who make predictions month by month, could not save the Babylonians from certain destruction. And despite the clear condemnation of the scriptures, there continue to be pseudo-Christian people who maintain that there is a biblical precedent for using the stars to chart the future. And one of the pretexts is the star that guided the Magi to Messiah. But that, of course, hardly validates astrology. A quick look at context reveals that this star was not used to foretell the future, but to forth-tell the future. In other words, the Star of Bethlehem did not prophesy the birth of Christ. It pronounced the birth of Christ. Moreover, science has debunked astrology as a pseudoscience based on the odd predilection that galaxies rather than genes determine inherited human characteristics. So think for a moment about 9/11. Astrology cannot account for the problem posed by mass tragedies. Not everyone at 9/11 had the same horoscope. Or consider twins. Twins born under the same sign of the zodiac frequently end up with very different personalities and widely diverse futures. What astrology does is it subverts the natural use of the stars, a use which God ordains for a superstitious use which God disdains. Genesis points to the natural use of the stars to separate the day from the night, to serve as signs that mark seasons and days and years, and to illuminate the earth. They also can be rightly used for varied purposes ranging from navigation to natural revelation. And therefore, you could see sailors who use astro-navigational charts in order to plan their course. However, you, dear saints, may not use astrology to chart your careers. The words of Isaiah ring down through the ages, and I'm going to use that as the quote of the day. Isaiah 47. Let now the astrologers, the stargazers, and the monthly prognosticators stand up and save you. From what shall come upon you? Behold, they shall be as stubble. The fire shall burn them away. They shall not deliver themselves from the power of the flame. They shall wander each one to his quarter. No one shall save you. So here you have Isaiah warning the Babylonians about what was going to happen to them. They're involved in all of these, well, very popular astrology and witchcraft practices, and they had forgotten that there was a God who spoke in the universe. Let into existence. They could know there was a God because if you see a universe, which is an effect, there has to be an uncaused first cause that caused the universe. Simple logic tells you that. But they turned from the God of the universe to astrologers, to mutterers, to fakes and frauds. Unfortunately, we're doing the same thing in America today. We are coming up on our station break. The number to dial, 888-ASK-HANK, numerically 888-275-4265. We'll go right to our calls as soon as we come back from the break. And do remember, you can always write us, Post Office Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, zip code 28271.
The famous British apologist G.K. Chesterton once noted, "The true soldier fights not because he hates what is in front of him, but because he loves what is behind him." Because at CRI we love what is behind us, our faith, our families, and our freedoms, we will never retreat quietly from the growing assaults on life and truth. Even when the costs are great, we will stand. To join like-minded friends in making a difference at home and around the globe, and to equip fellow believers to stand their ground courageously, become a member of CRI's support team. Simply call 888-7000-CRI. That's 888-7000-CRI. Or visit our website at equip.org. Stay with us. Hank Hanegraaff will return in a few moments. Are you the product of millions of years of unguided, purposeless, natural processes? Or are you created in the image of a loving God? Faced with the overwhelming scorn of evolutionary proselytizers, it can be hard to articulate the truth about God's creative work. And even among faithful Christians, many misconceptions linger. The Creation Answer Book by Hank Hanegraaff puts answers to the most hotly debated origins questions right at your fingertips, giving you clarity and understanding. Learn to articulate the truth about our origins clearly and compassionately when you request your copy of the Creation Answer Book, or listen to Hank's insightful answers with the unabridged audiobook version on CD. Receive your copy of the Creation Answer Book or the audiobook on CD from the Christian Research Institute when you call 888-7000-CRI or go online to equip.org. Breaking the code of the Book of Revelation has become an international obsession. The result has been rampant misreading of Scripture, bad theology, and even bad politics and foreign policy. In the Apocalypse Code, find out what the Bible really says about the end times and why it matters today. Hank Hanegraaff argues that the key to understanding the last book of the Bible is the other 65 books of the Bible, not current events or recent history. The Apocalypse Code offers sane answers to some very controversial questions, such as, what does it mean to take the book of Revelation literally? Who are the Antichrist and the Great Whore of Babylon? And what is the real meaning of 666? Order the Apocalypse Code by Hank Hanegraaff today. Available in softcover, MP3 CD, or MP3 download from equip.org. Or call 888-7000-CRI. Anyone who's been paying attention knows there's a war going on, not just on traditional morality, civility, and decency, but even more fundamentally on historic notions of truth. And the enemy isn't just the onslaught of fake news facilitated by a post-truth culture and turbocharged by growing legions of ideological spin doctors. No, the real enemies of truth range from postmodernist convictions that there is no objective truth to militant scientism that claims that only science can determine truth, and religion is little more than primitive superstitions. But CRI support team members are not waving a white flag of surrender. They're holding the fort by undergirding every one of Christian Research Institute's mind-shaping and life-changing outreaches 24/7. To learn how you can make a difference and enjoy all the benefits of support team membership, simply visit equip.org.
Thank you.
Once again, here is Hank Hanegraaff.
Thank you very much, Randy. And we are going to go right to our callers. The number to dial, 888-ASK-HANK, numerically 888-275-4265. First up, Scott in White Rock, British Columbia, Canada, listening on KARI. Thanks for your patience, Scott.
Hi, Hank. I love you and the Lord dearly. And you know what? I really like you. I really appreciate your talk about the move to the Orthodox and how you distinguish that from the Catholic faith. Anyway, so back to the question, does God motivate by love or by anger? And intrinsically, the Bible says, if you have aught against your brother, you go straight to him, straight to the person, unless it's sketchy and there's violence involved. And to go back to Charleston, where the police were just watching and not doing anything while beaten to a pulp. But I want to quote, the quote of the day is, for me, is Ian Collar of the Free Presbyterian Church in Cloverdale, British Columbia. We need to have the gospel mind. So if the gospel mind is there, we need to motivate and walk in love towards everybody. And I love the fact that but motivating by love and not by anger, but yet that God still instills that thing, be angry and sin not. In other words, if you have aught against your brother, you go and speak your mind clearly, and you proclaim the truth in a rightful manner.
Yeah, okay. Scott, let me go to the original question that you asked. God uses many means to motivate us. Because he wants us to come to repentance. He wants us to live as we ought. And so one of the means that God uses in terms of wrath and bringing us back to a proper valuation of things is discipline. And I think about the passage which you find in Proverbs, but also in Hebrews chapter 12, my son, do not reject the discipline of the Lord or loathe his reproof. For whom the Lord loves, he reproves, even as a father, the son in whom he delights. But God also uses love, so we don't have to choose between wrath and love. God uses all things for our good. God reminds us to treat others as he has treated us. He has been kind to us, and therefore we have to be kind to one another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another as God in Christ has forgiven us, or as Jesus once said, love one another as I have loved you, so you must love one another. So God uses both discipline and love to reach us. I think about the fact that God often in his love sends us an illness. And the reason he does that is the illness of the body often becomes a means of bringing the metaphysical aspect of our humanity into proper line with his love and his will, with his goodness and with his grace. So we are not to despise the riches of his goodness, his forbearance, his long-suffering, not knowing that the goodness of God ultimately leads us to repentance. Repentance meaning to a true valuation of things. Let's go back to the phone lines, talk to Sheila in Balding, Ohio, listening on Sirius XM 131. Hi, Sheila.
Hi, Hank. Thank you for taking my call, and I do thank you for what you do. I have learned so much from you. My question is that what can you tell me about Reiki healing and energy healing? And if sometimes they try to say that it's relating to when Jesus told the disciples to lay hands on people to heal them.
Yeah, well, I think you have to look at the system as a whole. Reiki is a system of laying on of hands by which individuals can allegedly be healed, but it's a form of psychic healing. The founder was supposed to be a Christian, but the worldview that he embraced was not Christian at all, and he developed his system through Hindu writings. And the whole idea was to channel spirits, which supposedly assist us in these healing sessions. And then the messages that are channeled in those sessions are channeled by what are called the masters. Again, they're spiritual masters that have nothing to do with the biblical worldview. So this is an occult practice, which is clearly condemned in the Bible, and therefore the Reiki teachings of laying on of hands is not concordant with the laying of hands that is prescribed in Scripture.
Okay, thank you so much.
You got it. Thank you so much for your call. Back to the phone lines. We'll talk next to Brian in Calgary, Alberta, Canada. Hi, Brian.
Hey, Hank. How are you doing?
I'm doing well. Thank you.
Great. Thank you so much for taking my call. I have two questions for you, and then I'll listen to you off air. The first one is, what are your views on Louis Farrakhan and his doctrine and his beliefs? And the second one would be also, what are your views on women in ministry? And again, thank you for taking my call. I'll listen to you off air.
Sure. Yeah, well, with respect to Louis Farrakhan, he heads up the Nation of Islam, which was founded by Wallace Fard back in 1930. And this is a movement that is blatantly anti-Semitic. It's also anti-white, so it's a very racist movement. In fact, in the movement, you have this idea that the white race was grafted into existence somewhere around 7,000 years ago by a scientist named Dr. Jacob. And if you've listened to Farrakhan for any period of time, you'll hear him say all kinds of discordant things, including praising Hitler as a great man. And he has praised terror. He praised Muammar Gaddafi when he was alive. And so he actually got funded by millions of dollars in loans from Gaddafi. But the whole Nation of Islam theology is what's most troubling. Christianity, they say, is the white man's religion, which is absurd at the face of it. The belief is that Jesus is not God in human flesh, that Allah had sex with Mary and produced Jesus Christ. They deny the afterlife, and on it goes. So this is a horrible, horrible, cultic construct that is extraordinarily dangerous, virulently racist, and therefore should be spoken out against in no uncertain terms. We need to know what they believe so that we can counter their false beliefs with truth. In terms of women in ministry, I think it's very important that we recognize that if a woman has a gift, that gift ought to be used in ministry. You can't say, well, I'm a woman, and therefore I don't have to use my gifts. No, whether you're a male or a female, if you are gifted, you must use that gift as God gives you the opportunity to use that gift. It is a sacred trust that He gives us. And so, again, there can't be a cop-out. I'm a woman, and therefore I can't use my gifts. No, you are going to be called into account for what you did with the gifts that God has given you, the talent, the time, and the treasure that He has afforded you. Now, it's important to recognize that there are ecclesiologies, and within those ecclesiologies, there's precedent. That precedent comes down through the ages, the Old Testament into the New Testament, from the New Testament to the early church fathers, and on to the present. And I think it's important to follow those precedents, because those precedents are precedents that have a biblical base. And therefore, while there's no ontological difference between men and women, we're humans created as icons of God, and therefore, again, we need to use our gifts. There are certain roles that men play, and there are certain roles that women play. And church ecclesiology has determined that in many different forms, but I think we're best off to go to the biblical and then the historical precedent for that. I've written about this in an entry in my book, The Complete Bible Answer Book Collector's Edition. It is titled, Must Women Be Silent in the Church? Well, obviously, if women are taught to pray and prophesy within the context of the church, the answer to that question is, of course not. They can speak within the church and certainly can teach as well. And the gifting of women has been very, very significant in my own life. As I've been president of the Christian Research Institute, I think of Gretchen Pazentino. And by the way, we're going to do a special Halloween show with her. She's gone on to be with the Lord, but we have it on record, and it is fabulous, coming up next week. We're out of time for this edition of the Bible Answer Man broadcast. Again, thank you to all of you who stand shoulder to shoulder with me in the battle for life and truth, who support this ministry prayerfully and financially. You can do that in a safe, secure fashion on the web at equip.org. So long until next week.
Thanks for tuning in to the Bible Answer Man broadcast. Our website, equip.org, has an abundance of resources to sharpen your discernment skills and help you grow in life and truth. We provide books, videos, and informative articles. You can also listen to the broadcast live, download archived programs, get answers to pressing Bible questions, follow our blog, or connect with us via social media. All this and more at equip.org. Again, the address is equip.org. The Bible Answer Man broadcast is supported solely by listeners like you. We're on the air because life and truth matter. The number of wolves surrounding the Christian flock is growing, and they relish nothing more than docile sheep utterly incapable of defending themselves. From militant secularists at home to militant Islamists abroad, the assaults on biblical Christianity are growing dangerously. But Christian Research Institute support team members aren't in favor of feeding these wolves. Instead, each day they're making possible an array of outreaches that defang these wolf packs with solid arguments and evidence that have stood the test of time. What's more, support team members are equipping themselves with CRI's Equipping Essentials, a hand-picked collection of the best apologetics tools around. Your selection of resources, along with a complimentary subscription to the Christian Research Journal, are just our way of saying thanks. To learn more about the benefits of membership, simply visit equip.org. Once again, that's equip.org.